الإمام شرف الدين البوصيري رحمه الله تعالى ورضي عنه ونفعنا به وبكم آمين. محبتني النصح لكن لست أسمعه. From next week we're going to start 6:15. From next week, inshallah. Fajr is getting earlier. So pray Fajr, come here, recite the word and we are seeing 6:15 we will start, inshallah. So please make it 6:15. I don't like interrupting the class. So make sure that everyone comes before we start, inshallah. محبتني النصح لكن لست أسمعه. إن المحب عن العزال في صمم. إني اتهمت نصيح الشيب في عذل والشيب أبعد في نصح عن التهم. فإن أمارتي بالسوء ما اتعظت من جهلها بنذير الشيب والهرم. ولا أعدت من الفعل الجميل قرى ضيف ألم برأسي غير محتشم. لو كنت أعلم أني ما أوقره كتمت سرا بدالي منه بالكتم. The two lines before this line start with vocation, addressing the poet, addressing the people who blame him in the course of his love. Or for his love, people who blame him for devoting his love to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, though he didn't reveal the secret name of his beloved yet. So line number 11, he addresses the person who blames him. He says, "Mahabtani nusha, you have given me the best advice, the sheerest advice." Mahaba, from giving something sheer that is not mixed with something else. Nasabun mahb, for example, means that lineage that is sheer, not mixed, pure. And al-mahbu al-khalisu alladhi lam yukhalithu ghayruh, something that is sheer, not mixed with anything else. So you have given me mahabtani, mahaba. Notice as-sadda on the ha from fa'ala. The original verb is with its three roots, mahaba, mahaba. Mahaba is to emphasize on the meaning. In the translation I have here, it says you have given me good advice, but I can't hear it. I would say you have given me the sheerest advice, pure from any intention, from any cause or from any goal. Your advice is meant only as an advice, not to get any other thing. There's no purpose behind this advice. This is the meaning mahabtan in nusha. It's not about being good or not, it's just about its purpose. Purpose of it, sincere advice. Yeah, you have given sincere advice, is good also. Sincere. I'm just following the original meaning of the word mahabtani, sheer advice. In the English language, in classical English, you say sheer advice is very powerful in structure. Both words come together. Sheer advice, that is to say, advice given. A piece of advice given for no purpose other than just amending the person. لكن لست أسمعه, yet I'm not hearing it, I'm not listening to it. In another way, I'm not lending my ears to it. I'm deaf. I'm not following it. Subsequently, I'm not following it. Not only he didn't say I'm not following it, he just cut all the means from the beginning, saying, I'm not hearing it. I'm not lending my ear. Usually, if someone talks to you to blame you, if there are categories of your conviction on any subject, if you are not convinced, you would listen to arguments people bring against your conviction. If your conviction is in the middle, in between, you're just blindly following someone else, you heard it and you just took it on, you may listen to people. But if your conviction is very strong, anyone who starts some conversation, you say, stop, I don't want to hear it. Because you're so sure about your opinion that you're not ready even to listen. Someone will tell you, no, just lend me your ears for a few minutes. Listen to what I'm going to say, and then judge it afterwards. Never allow people to penetrate your mind through this means. Because this is what the deviators, Ahlu al-Zayr, wal-Dalal, want. All they want from you is to listen to them. A few times, then after having listened to them a few times, you get some doubt about your conviction. Then later on you start finding answers to these challenges. When you don't find answers, or enough answers, then you get to doubt the truth. لا تمكن زائغ القلب من أذنيك. One of the principal rules is لا تمكن زائغ القلب من أذنيك. Never lend your ears to a deviator. So he made himself deaf in front of all blames that are wrapped. These are presented as pieces of advice, yet they are blames wrapped in a piece of advice. So not everything that glitters is gold. He's blaming him for this love, yet putting this blame in wrapping it in as an advice. إن المحب عن العزال في صمم. A true lover must be deaf in front of all people who blame him. عزال, love critics. Is a common term for people who blame. From عزل يعزل. From عزل يعزل. Opposite of عزل يعزل, can anyone suggest the verb using the first two letters? عزر. Opposite to it, just عزر. عزر to find excuses. To excuse someone. عذرة. عذرة to blame someone in love. عذرة. عذر excuse. عذرة to excuse someone. عذلة باللام is to blame someone for something and commonly used. It could be used for in any context, but commonly used for blaming people in love. إن المحب للكمال here, the perfect lover. The perfect lover. إن المحب, the true lover. True lovers are في صمم, are deaf in front of all love critics or anyone who blames them, because they are so sure about their love. They are not ready to listen to anyone at all. محبتني النصحة فعل فاعل مفعول به. لكن حرف استدراك لست أسمعه لست from ليس الماضي ناقص and اسمها أسمعه فعل فاعل مفعول به. جملة خبر. إن المحبة في صممي جملة اسمية. عين الزاري جار ومجرور متعلق بصمم. إني اتهمت نصيح الشيب في عذل، والشيب أبعد في نصح عن التهم. The poet now is preparing for the second chapter of his poem, moving into a new subject. The first subject is النسيب, الوقوف على الأطلال. النسيب means here غزل, الغزل والنسيب. Hinting to his beloved, النسيب. Hinting to his beloved, gestures that hint to his state of love and to his beloved, النسيب. He started with الوقوف على الأطلال, as the other poets, traditional poets, did, moved into talking about his love, describing his state, and talking about his critics. And then the last line of this chapter, he is preparing for the following chapter, which is about النفس. The second chapter is في التحذير من هوى النفس, cautioning people of the tricks of the nafs, of the passions of one's own ego. So the last line comes in that context, in اتهمت, because the move has to be prepared, because you don't feel it. You don't feel there's a sudden change of the subject. So he says here, in اتهمت نصيح الشيب في عذل, using from the earlier lines the word, for example, نصح, using the word عذل. إن اتهمت نصيح الشيب في عذل, والشيب أبعد في نصح عن التهم. He's saying here, it's not only that I am not listening to you, oh my critic, talking to his critics, talking to the people who blame him. It's not only you, I'm not only deaf in front of you, moreover, I am deaf in front of the best advice given to me by the gray hair growing on my head. إني اتهمت, I accuse. نصيح الشيبي, the advice of the gray hair, the advice given or offered by the gray hair. في عذل, I'm accusing him of blaming me. I'm accusing it. I'm accusing the gray hair of blaming me rather than giving me an advice. والشيب أبعد في نصح عن التهم. Although gray hair, when giving advice, is the farthest from any suspicion. The gray hair would not be suspected for any purpose when giving an advice. How can I listen? I don't even trust the counsel of gray hair. And everyone knows old age is guileless when it comes to good counsel. So how can I listen? There's no way that I can listen while I don't even trust the counsel of gray hair. إن اتهمت نصيح الشيب في عذل, changing here in the translation we have, changing the structure of the line. إن اتهمت نصيح الشيب في عذل, I'm not listening, or I'm accusing the counsel of the gray hair on my head. I'm not listening to it. I am accusing the gray hair of blaming me rather than giving me an advice. والشيب أبعد في نصح عن التهم. Gray hair is neutral. Gray hair doesn't blame, doesn't bring any blame to the person, rather it would give only the best advice in the most neutral way. والشيب أبعد في نصح عن التهم. اتهم يتهم, here to accuse, مصدر اتهام. نصيح, here إني اتهمت نصيحة, نصيحة مفعول به, اتهمت. نصيح is the advice, the counsel. الشيب الناصح. في عزلين، عزل المصدر فمن عزل يعزل عزلا، والشيب أبعد جملة اسمية. The farthest. They here is the farthest. في نصح when giving advice عن التهامي from all accusations. التهام is accusations but rather suspicions. You say here. There's no way you could suspect gray hair when giving an advice for anything. So you see this move now. Now he's going to talk about his nafs, about his spiritual state. What does gray hair indicate? Gray hair indicates that, well, you're aging. You're not the same man. You're moving too fast towards the end of your life. So beware. Prepare yourself. Death is sooner than what you expected. Now, you're not as young as you were before. So it rings the alarm in your body, in your being, that, well, you're not the same person, so you should wake up. You should wake up. You should prepare yourself for al-akhirah. Ask yourself what you did before, about what you did before, what you're going to do in the future. So gray hair is of that type. When it comes, people should look at it from that angle. So he moves into the second chapter now. After talking about gray hair, he prepared for describing his state. I'm not listening even to the counsel given by the gray hair on my head. فَإِنَّ أَمَّارَتِي بِالسُّوءِ مَتَّعَضَتْ مِنْ جَهْلِهَا بِنَذِيرِ الشَّيْبِ وَالْهَرَمِ. A very soft move, a very swift move into the second chapter. Now, not that I'm not only listening to the gray hair when giving me an advice, but rather my nafs that is commanding evil has never been admonished, has never listened, or has never understood the wisdom behind these two things, shayb and haram. Shayb is gray hair, shaba yashibu. Haram is aging, harima yahramu. So first we have ammara bisu'. This is a Quranic term. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the words of originally the words of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, inna an-nafsa la'ammaratu wa ma ubarri'u nafsi, inna an-nafsa la'ammaratun bisu', to Surah Yusuf. Wa ma ubarri'u nafsi, I do not bequeath myself. Inna an-nafsa, an-nafs indeed, ammara bisu', commands evil. This is very obvious. From a Sharia point of view, you should never listen to what your nafs tells you to do. And all the tariqa and all the tasawwuf and the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is built on mukhalafatun nafs, on working against the desires of your nafs. Mukhalafatun nafs. And the true shaykh is not the shaykh who tells you the things that appeal to you. The true shaykh of yours is the one who tells you the things that do not appeal to you. Because in these things there are challenges. You want to change, you want to be better, and always getting better comes against your habit. If there is an inherent habit in your behavior, you have to get rid of it. It will be very difficult to do it alone, and your nafs won't help you a lot unless there is someone above you to tell you, no, you have to do so, you have to do so. So it is very important to look at this principle, مُخَالَفَةُ النَّفْسِ. They will come later on, وَخَالِفِ النَّفْسَ وَالشَّيْطَانَ وَعَصِهِمَا. In the same poem here. Disobey النَّفْس and الشَّيْطَان. Act against them. So إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. النَّفْس has, from a Sharia point of view, is described in Al-Quran Kareem on several ways. النَّفْس is أَمَّارَ بِالسُّوءِ in its early stages, before it is purified. when the diseases of the heart are all contaminating the heart, then of course a nafs wants more food, wants more drinks, wants more comfort, wants more sleep, wants more pleasures of this life, whether halal or haram. The nafs doesn't care. It wants everything. The Sharia comes to limit, to put limits to the needs of an-nafs. And as much as you adhere to the Sharia, you can control your nafs. An-nafs usually feeds upon what comes from the earth. Opposite to an-nafs, you have al-ruh and al-qalb. An-nafs turns to fulfill the desires of the body. Al-qalb fulfills the desires of the ruh. So there has to be a balance between them. And the more you have control, the more your nafs has control over you, the more you're lost in the wilderness of this life. When you give the reign of your life, of your body to your heart, then your ruh is in control. And nafs is like an uncontrollable horse. So you could imagine yourself stuck on the back of an uncontrollable horse, and there's no way to get off it, and it's driving you so fast, and you're just being shaken to death. Or in another way, you're trying to lead, you're holding the rein of your nafs like holding the rein of an uncontrollable horse, and you're trying to lead your nafs while your nafs is much stronger, and the horse is much stronger than you, and the rein is stuck in your hand, so you end up the horse pulling you behind it. And this is the way people, we can describe people who are controlled by their nafs. Rather, you should give the rein of your life, of your body, to your heart. The nafs feeds on things that belong to this dunya, food, drinks, beauty, and so on. Your ruh feeds upon dhikr, al-Qur'an, al-Ta'a, al-Ibadah. And as much as you strengthen your ruh, you can survive in a spiritual battle against the shaytan, and you can come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can have more safa, purity in your mind, and the mirror of your heart shines in a better way to reflect at-tajalliyat al-ilahiyya, the divine transcendence of the light and the wisdom of al-Qur'an al-Kareem. So فَإِنَّ أَمَّارَتِي بِالسُّوءِ, this nafs in its early stages, it commands evil. Later on, this nafs becomes, for example, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. This nafs becomes purified after working on it to rid it from all bad traits. Later on, it becomes, for example, رَاضِيَة. It becomes mardiya. You have several stages of an-nafs. Sufis talk about this, and there are books written on the diseases of the heart, or maratibun nafs, the categories of an-nafs that could be subject for many lectures. So the early stage is al-ammara bisu. Stay in bed, or go to watch a movie, or this is what an-nafs tells. Too much to learn. Get some rest. Take it easy. Such things. أَمَّارَ بِالسُّوءِ فَإِنَّ أَمَّارَتِي بِالسُّوءِ. أَمَّارَ from أَمَرَ. Yes, أَمَّار فعال. صيغة مبالغة. أَمَّار فعال. قتال. So on. فعال. أَمَّار. أَمَّارَ بِالسُّوءِ. أَمَرَ بِكَذَا. Verb أَمَرَ تتعدى بالباء. أمره بكذا. أمره بكذا. المفعول الثاني يتوصل الفعل إليه بالباء. ما اتعظ. اتعظ from وعظ. وعظ is to admonish someone else. اتعظ. إيو تعظ. Originally التاء مزيدة والألف. اتعظ. Originally إيو تعظ. It means to accept the admonishment. To be cautioned, to follow after, to apply the admonishments and work on them. من جهلها, out of its ignorance. بنذيري, with the warning of. نذير, one of the names of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. بشيرا ونذيرا. نذير, the one who brings alarm. The one who cautions people. بنذير الشيب والهرم. So there are two things now ringing alarms in the body of the poet. He says الشيب and الهرم. الشيب, we heard it before, is from شاب يشيب. شاب يشيب. We have a wonderful metaphor in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, the story of Sayyidina Zakariya عليه السلام. واشتعل الرأس شيبا. When he was too old, as he thought, to get a son, he described his head as his head is burning of gray hair. It's all burning. He described how gray hair overwhelmed, covered, totally covered his head. So واشتعل burning. الرأس, the head is burning of a shaved gray hair. شاب يشيب. الشيب مصدر and اسم. والهرم from هرم يهرم. Like علم يعلم. هرم يهرم. Which باب is this? Which باب in صرف? Which one? Yeah, which one? أول, ثاني, ثالث. باب الأول, باب الثاني, باب الثالث. 6 أبواب المجرد, أبواب 6. الرابع. It's not to guess. It's just if you know it, say it. Otherwise, there are 6 alternatives. الأبواب تحفظ هكذا. الباب الأول, باب الثاني, باب الثالث, باب الرابع. تحفظ كل باب أبواب المجرد. هرم يهرم من الباب الرابع. Like علم يعلم. هرم يهرم هرما. To become old. هرم is someone who is old. Not as strong as usually, from 70, 80, 90. This is a person who is harem. However, haram is doesn't imply any loss of senses. Harem is just weakness. Haram is weakness. And person who is harem is just weak, old. So his weakness is just because he's old. Different from khalifa yakhrafu, to become senile and senility. So kharaf is something different. Kharifa yakhrafu is to become senile, and kharaf is masdar and noun senility. This is when losses are when senses are lost. When someone can't remember, doesn't have good memory, or doesn't have, doesn't hear, doesn't, or they speak things that are incoherent. So Alfa here, how this line is arranged with the earlier line. Alfa here is Fa al-Sababiyya. Because. So he's giving the cause of the earlier statement. He says, إِنِّي اتَّهَمْتُ نَصِيحَ الشَّيْبِ فِي عَذَلٍ وَالشَّيْبُ أَبْعَدُ فِي نُصْحٍ عَنِ التُّهَمِ. I'm not listening to the counsel, not even listening to the counsel of the gray hair on my head. Because. Because of what? Because of my nafs that is commanding me evil. You should understand that jahil, the word jahil, is used commonly in contrast with ilm. But also, in the Arabic language, and in Quran al-Kareem, al-jahl is used in contrast with hilm. Jahl and hilm. Jahl and ilm, knowledge and ignorance. Ilm, knowledge, jahl, ignorance. But it is used in Quran al-Kareem and in the Arabic language before Islam and after Islam in contrast with hilm. Hilm. forbearance, tolerance, or good behavior. For example, Amr ibn Kulthum says in his Mu'allaqah, أَلَا لَا يَجْهَلًا أَحَدٌ عَلَيْنَا فَنَجْهَلَ فَوْقَ جَهْلِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Let no one transgress against us, then we transgress more than anyone who transgressed against us. He used it as term. He used the term jahil. It means jahila alayhi. La yajhalan alayna. Jahila alayhi. Notice the preposition here. Harf al-jar. Jahila alayhi means to transgress against someone. To act in an inappropriate way. To transgress slander, to usurp people's properties, to insult them, and so on. But this is جهل عليه. ولا أعدت من الفعل الجميل قرى ضيف ألم برأسي غير محتشم. When you receive guests, what do you offer them? You offer them food. You offer them drinks. You offer them a place to stay. What you offer guests is called qira. Qira. The verb is qara al-dayfa, yaqrihi. Qara yaqri. Qiran. So he says here, my nafs has not even prepared, or you would go like this, nor had it prepared. It didn't prepare even. أعد يعد to prepare. أعد يعد to prepare. من الفعل الجميل. Of good deeds. جميل, good, beautiful, originally beautiful. Here it means good. الفعل is work. Deed, here you would say. He means here الطاعات, العبادات. قرى ضيف. Qira is qara yaqri, to offer people's rights, the rights of guests. When they come, you offer them drinks, food, place to stay. So qara al-dayfa, yaqri is a specific term in the Arabic language. When talking about a dayf, guest, you have to use this term, qira al-dayf. Qira al-dayf is giving the guests what they require. So usually when you have a guest, you should give your guest everything possible to make it stay comfortable. If you don't, then there's a big shame. Arabs has it before Islam and after Islam as one of the major characteristics of Islam, of Arabs before Islam, and stressed even more in Islam, to offer the guest everything they need for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said it in several hadith that explain or offer more motives, better motives for you to offer, to give the guests what they need, or to have everything available at your home offered to the guests. It is the Sharia motive. You give the guest because of the guest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you rizq. الضيف يأتي برزقه ورزق أهل الدار. When you have a guest, then the guest comes and brings with him more rizq to you. ويذهب بذنوب أهل الدار. And the guest goes and takes with him the sins of the household. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, so he made it in a better way, because this is something that is good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards for anything that is good. So the motive is from a Sharia point of view. Arabs before Islam had it out of honor, that out of their honor, if you are a noble man, then you should protect your guest. And even if your guest is the killer of your father, people wouldn't touch anyone. We have stories in Arabic literature before Islam when someone killed the father of someone and was traveling in the desert, through the desert, and then came to a tent, found a camp, came to the tent, and entered, and he was received. Usually the adab of hospitality was not to ask the guest of his name or his intention. Till 3 days passed, or have passed. After the 3 days, then, what do you want? What is your name? Where are you from? After 3 days. So the man stayed the first day, the second day, the third day. After 3 days, he already ate from the food of his host. So after eating from the food of his host, he couldn't be touched. He couldn't be killed. He discovered that his host, this host is the son of the person he killed. And taking revenge was the ultimate goal of the offspring or the relatives of anyone who is killed. So if this host found or saw the killer anywhere else, he would immediately kill him, take revenge and take pride on it till the end of his life. But since he ate from his food and was in his tent, he couldn't touch him, said to him, now you go. He just released him and let him go. So you can imagine how much it was a sign of nobility to respect guests and offer them. You understand the story of Hatim al-Ta'i. It's like fairy tale, or it's a true story. When he received guests and he didn't have anything, someone came to him. Hatim was very much famous, very famous over Arabia as being extremely generous. So someone came to visit him, and Hatim looked around and didn't find anything to offer. And in the desert, the tradition is you should slaughter a sheep, a goat, something, a camel. You receive a guest, you should slaughter something. If you give them any type of other food, it doesn't suffice. You should slaughter. So he didn't have anything except his horse. He had a very famous horse, a race horse, famous all over Arabia. So he went out, slaughtered the horse, and offered the horse to his the meat to his guest. Then after the host, after the guest got some rest, what do you want? Or the guest started requesting that he came all the way from far away to ask Hatim to give him the horse. He said, "You just ate from the horse, the meat of the horse." You can imagine the generosity of Arabs. There is a book called Al-Mustajad min Fa'alat al-Ajwad. Al-Mustajad min Fa'alat al-Ajwad, an old book by Al-Tanukhi, Al-Muhassin Al-Tanukhi, talking about the generosity and magnanimity of Arabs before Islam. So this is something before Islam, it was sacred. The right of the guest before Islam, it was sacred. Islam strengthened it and stressed on the importance of treating the guest in the best way. We have manners of how to treat guests and how, for example, you should never honor yourself in your home. You should always have your guest honored above you and such things. So qira al-dayif is the right of the guest. Now, this is a metaphor. This is all a metaphor of the gray hair. The gray hair coming to his head is a guest visiting him. Every guest should be received according to its rank, according to its importance. So when gray hair come to visit you, then you should prepare good work. بطاعات عبادات تلاوة القرآن ذكر الله تعالى والتوبة والإنابة إلى الله تبارك وتعالى, repenting to Allah, increasing the amount of acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the way you honor this gift coming on your head. أَلَمَّ يُلِمُّ comes around. أَلَمَّ يُلِمُّ comes around. Has several meanings. The meaning of it here is to come around. أَلَمَّ بِهِ. ألم برأسي came around my head. غير محتشمي without being shy. In another way, gray hair didn't come hiding itself. It came in public. It came so obvious, it was so obvious, spreading on his head without any shyness. If this guest was shy, it would just come swiftly without declaring its existence, its presence in public, as it happens in the case of some people who would have some gray hair, but it could be hidden. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as described in a hadith in al-Shama'il, he had few hairs, few gray hairs on his forelock, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When he combed, when he oiled his hair, they used to be hidden. كان sallallahu alayhi wa sallam نص الحديث كان في مقدم رأسه شعرات بيض إذا الدهن واراهن الدهن. He had some gray hair on the top, on the front of his head. When he oiled his hair, then he used to comb his hair and part his hair towards the end of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So when applying oil and parting his hair, then these few gray hair used to be hidden. In the case of the poet, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never had all his hair gray, nor his beard gray. He had only few hairs on his beard that were gray, 17, 16, 18, in several narrations. This is what Anas radiallahu ta'ala could count in of the gray hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Unlike Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, who was younger than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, yet he had all his hair gray. He had all his hair gray. So the gray hair on the head of this on the head of the poet has come in public, not shying off, not hiding itself. غير محتشم. احتشم from احتشام, to be shy, to be decent. It means also احتشم, for example, احتشم في جلسته, not to spread your legs and sit in an inappropriate way, but rather you would gather your limbs together and sit in a very polite way. احتشم في جلسته. احتشم في لباسه, for example, instead of wearing something tight or brothers, something that is plain red or yellow of color, or for girls, for example, instead of wearing something tight and something that is transparent, you would rather wear something thick and dark. So احتشام, احتشام في اللباس, احتشام في in your dress, in the way you sit, in your behavior, in the way you walk, for example, you could be محتشم. So behaving well. But here محتشم is not coming in public. This is محتشم. غير محتشمي, it means came just declaring itself, walking in public. This self of mine that drives me to error has turned a blind eye to gray hair and approaching old age. It hasn't even prepared a banquet of deeds for this unexpected guest who has set up permanent camp on my head. ألم برأسي غير محتشمي. So translation here says غير محتشمي, unexpected. I would say rather than unexpected, غير محتشمي. I would put it in a different way, rather than unexpected. It means it came in public, out crying that you're old. It didn't hide itself. It spread so obviously. This is an indication that the gray hair wasn't spreading on part of his head, but rather on all of his head. لو كنت أعلم أني ما أوقره كتمت سرا بدا لي منه بالكتم. Had I known that I would not revere it, its gray hair, I would have hidden the secret of it by ketam, which is a special dye. Ketam is a plant that is used to dye the hair. Was used by Arabs before Islam and after Islam, and there's a hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala used to dye his hair with a combination of hinna and ketam. Hinna and ketam, and there is a variety of opinions on what comes out of this combination. Would it be black or blackish or red? There is a difference of opinion. Dyeing the hair the color black is makruh tahriman, because you should, if you want to dye your hair, you shouldn't cheat by bringing back the old color of it black. Rather, you should dye your hair in a different color. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dyed using hinna, al-hinna, and his hair would be like gold, lines of gold, threads of gold, as described. So, لو كنت أعلم أني ما أوقر وقر يوقر to revere وتعزروه وتوقروه وتسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا. وتوقروه refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to revere Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وتوقروه, so, وقر يوقر توقيرا, توقير مصدر infinitive, is to revere. Noun from revere. What is in English? I'm saying in English. What is the noun of revere? Reverence, exactly. And what is the noun of, what is the verb of reference? Teacher, English teacher. Because people might think reverence, the verb would be revere, is refer. Why? You know why refer and revere? Can you explain it? Why the pronunciation is different? Refer and revere. Any other English teacher here? Good. Bingo. Because when you have a vowel at the end, then the vowel becomes long. So, لو كنت أعلم أني ما أوقره, how would he have respected and revered the gray hair by giving it its rights of hospitality, by receiving it well, by turning to it, and this is metaphorically speaking, this could be done only by tawbah, by returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is to say, acting like young boys doesn't fit when you have gray hair. It doesn't fit at all. When someone is young and goes to play football, for example, well, you're 15, 20, you're playing football, but when you're 50 and you have all gray hair on your head, it doesn't fit that you play football. Though, of course, المؤمن يجب أن يصون أفعاله عن العبث. A believer should not act in a way or does anything for no reason, for no sharia reason, for no good reason. But this is an example of just something that is probably mubah, could be makruh only if it distracts from farad, or if it leads to anything makruh or haram. But moreover, you could imagine someone at the age of 20, for example, harassing girls in the street, and someone at the age of 60 harassing young girls in the street. And you can see the difference between the two images. So when gray hair comes and old age comes to invade your head and attack your body, subsequently, respectively, I mean here, the hair invading your head and old age attacking your body, then you should change your behavior. You should you should act upon these warnings on your head and on your body and you hear this visitor of gray hair by behaving well, by restraining yourself, by performing tawbah, coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tawbah. But he says here, if I knew that I wouldn't give it enough respect, enough reverence, I would have dyed it. I would have hidden it. Katamtu sirran. And notice here, jinas al-ishtiqaq between katama and al-katam. Katama is to hide. It's to conceal. Properly, not to hide, to conceal. Al-katam is a plant used to dye. Had I known, I wouldn't have paid him any respect at all. I would have camouflaged his secret with black dye. I would have concealed. Let's say camouflaged. Camouflaged. Again here is using him instead of it for the gray hair. مَأْوَقِّرُهُ. Had I known, I wouldn't have paid it the gray hair. The gray hair is uncountable and countable. Could be used here, could be used as countable and uncountable, both. So you could say few hair and few hair, right? As far as I remember in English. So you could look it up even and check it and come back. So it could be used few hair, few hairs, countable, uncountable. You could refer to gray hair in general with it. So had I known, I wouldn't have paid gray hair any respect. Had I known, comma, I wouldn't have paid him any respect at all. So I think the translation here suggests the opposite. It means here, had I known that, I wouldn't have given it any respect. Had I known that, I wouldn't be able to revere it. I would have concealed its secret with black dye. كنت أعلم أني ما أوقره كتمت سرا بدا لي منه بالكتم. Now after talking about the gray hair attacking him, invading his head, and that he didn't prepare anything for it. First of all, he didn't listen to the advice of the gray hair. He turns to his nafs. He mentioned his nafs before. He mentioned his nafs in the first line of this chapter, line number 11, فَإِنَّ أَمَّارَتِي بِالسُّوءِ مَتَّعَضَتْ فَإِنَّ أَمَّارَتِي بِالسُّوءِ. He goes back now to talk about his نفس الأمارة بالسوء. مَنْ لِي بِرَدِّ جِمَاحٍ مِنْ غَوَايَتِهَا كَمَا يُرَدُّ جِمَاحُ الْخَيْلِ بِالْلُّجُمِ. Since the cause of all this is his نفس, فَإِنَّ, because the fa' as-sababiyya in the beginning of this chapter, he says, فَإِنَّ أَمَّارَتِي بِالسُّوءِ مَتَّعَرَتْ. I'm not listening to the counsel given by the gray hair on my head because of my أَمَّارَ بِالسُّوءِ, my nafs that is commanding me evil. So, three lines come later. Then he says, مَنْ لِي بِرَدِّ جِمَاحٍ مِنْ غَوَايَتِهَا. Who is going to help me restraining its rain that is deviating? It's deviating. Rain, or the rain of deviation. Also, making here a type of allegory. His nafs is similar to a horse, and the horse could be controlled by its rein, but the horse now is uncontrollable, is running fast and could not be held back. So he says here, rad, bringing back, holding back. Jimah from jamaha, yajmahu. Jamaha, yajmahu. When the horse becomes uncontrollable, you say jamaha. Jamaha. When the horse or the animal you're riding becomes uncontrollable, it just goes off the way. Jamaha means went off the way. Jamaha yajmahu. Jamaha yajmahu. Min ghawayatiha. Al-ghawaya here means deviation. From ghawiya yaghwa. From ghawa yaghwi. From ghawa yaghwi. Ghawa yaghwi riwayatan. Ghawa yaghwi riwayatan. Ghawaya is one of the nouns. Also, كما يرد, who is going to help me holding back the rein of my nafs that deviated, as the reins of deviating horse is held back by as deviating horses are held back by the reins. Translation, who can restrain my vaulting soul from its selfish desires, like bridles that bring restive steeds under control? So it's all, the translation here is metaphorical. Al-Nujum is, Lijam is the piece of metal that you put in the mouth of the mule or the horse. What do you call this in English? B-E-T? B-I-T, a bit. The rein is the strap. The strap, exactly. Yeah. So the rein is the strap. But the lujum, plural of lijam. Lijam is the metal piece that is used, that is put in the mouth of the horse or the mule, so that the rein is attached to it. And when you pull the rein, this metal piece in the mouth of the horse is pulled, and the horse stops. So he said here, exactly as the uncontrollable horses, jimah al-khayl, when horses are uncontrollable, are held back by the bits, dujum, by the bits in the mouth. Translations may differ. Sometimes if the literal translation doesn't bring the meaning you want in another language, of course you may go metaphorically to put it in the most suitable way, especially in poetry. It has to be poetic, it has to be literary, because it's not an article on description of let's say a drug or something. So you have to work it out sometimes. So you could use, instead of the bit here, use the rein, for example, where it becomes more metaphoric, because the rider doesn't pull directly the bit. Usually they pull the rein. So you could use the rein here instead of a lijam. The rein in the Arabic language is al-rasan. 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 Ra-seen noon. this is to tell us that his nafs has become uncontrollable. It is set to travel from one point to another point. And this is how, in a modern way, it is programmed. Yet, it went out of the program, out of the way, against the will of its rider. So jamahat, his nafs is jamahat. And because of, min here is بمعنى الباء للسببية, min غوايتها, because of its deviation, because of its aberrance. Aberrance is a good way here to use. You know the root of aberrance, anyone knows? The riddle. Anyone? How many English teachers we have here? Or ex-English teachers? Aberrance is from err, in Latin erre, with the prefix ab. With the prefix ab. Err is to make a mistake. And then noun comes from it, errance. Aberrance. Aberrance is more than just to err, more than committing mistake, is going off totally. To err is to make one mistake or few. Aberrance is just to go off totally. I read the book, I made a course on Latin, Teach Yourself Latin. It is very useful, and through studying Latin you get to know the etymology of and the structure of the English language. It's quite good, great help. So aberrance is a good word here. Hawaii becomes integral, becomes not only occasional, permanent way of error. كما يرد جماح الخيل باللجم فلا ترم بالمعاصي كسر شهوتها إن الطعام يقوي شهوة النهم. After talking about his nafs and how his nafs has been uncontrolled and it deviated and it led him to neglecting gray hair and going in the way of sins for so long time up to that age, he gives the best advice. We should remember that Al-Imam Al-Busiri was arif billah, was a great wali. So when he describes his state here, it's out of his humility that he's talking this way. He was a great wali, he was a great scholar, he was a great zakir, he was a great zahid, he was shadili in the past. So, murid of Imam al-Abbas al-Mursi. So, when he talks about himself, it's just a way to address us, a way to remind us of ourselves and our journey and our nafs that is controlling us. This is why he turns here to give us some advice, the reader of this poem. So he addresses the reader. فَلَا تَرُمْ بِالْمَعَاصِي كَثْرَ شَهْوَتِهَا. Don't break. Don't fulfill the desires of your nafs by ma'asi, by ma'asiyah. This is how to control your nafs. After talking about his nafs being uncontrollable, he gives us the advice how to control your nafs. You want to control your nafs, you should restrain your nafs by withholding from your nafs any type of desire that is haram. فَلَا تَرُمْ بِالْمَعَاصِي. Therefore, you should never. رام يروم إذ قصد يقصد. رام يروم قصد يقصد. فلا ترون فلا تقصد. بالمعاصي جمع معصية. فمعصى يعصي to disobey. معصية act of disobedience. كسر شهوتها literally, Sheikh Hamza puts it here, to break its appetite. If this metaphor is in the English language, then you could use it. Otherwise, it means to fulfill its desire. كسر شهوتها means to fulfill its desire. When there is a desire, you fulfill it. There is شهوة from اشتهى يشتهي. Shahwa is the desire. Shahwa could be appetite for food, could be for drinks, could be for dunya, for fame, for anything. So when you're hungry, for example, you have shahwa for a ta'am. When you eat, your appetite is broken. This is the meaning of it. In Arabic, it's very clear. I'm not sure whether this metaphor is common in English or not. To break its appetite. Anyway, one has to look into the Oxford English Dictionary to see. I trust Sheikh Hamza for that. But I would use to fulfill its desire rather than to break its appetite. I would use the metaphorical way here. إِنَّ الطَّعَامَ يُقَوِّي شَهْوَةَ النَّهِمِ. Notice that food only strengthens a glutton's craving. إِنَّ الطَّعَامَ, he makes a statement here. Food doesn't help you. He means here, or he refers here to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, let's say on the case of marriage. On the case of marriage, if you are young and you don't have enough means to get married, يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابِ مَنْ إِسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَةَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعَ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءُ. All young men, anyone who could afford marriage should marry, should get married. Anyone who is unable, who cannot afford it, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعَ, should maintain fasting, should fast. You abstain from food as much as possible. فإنه له وجاء, it withholds you from falling in ma'siyah, or it withholds you from it holds you back from following your desire, your lust, it means here. شهوة, of course, it could be used for lust also. So he says here, إن الطعام, food, does indeed يقوي, إن الطعام يقوي شهوة النهم. He means here, when you're hungry and there is delicious food in front of you, your appetite is often to more than what you need, to take more, because there's a variety of dishes that is in front of you. If there was one dish only, you could eat some and you do with it. But when there is a variety of dishes, then you eat the same amount from each dish. So قَوَّى, يُقَوِّي, to strengthen. And nahim is a person who is craving food because of the desire and the hunger, both hunger and desire. فَلَا تَرُمْ بِالْمَعَاصِي كَسْرَ شَهْوَتِهَا إِنَّ الطَّعَامَ يُقَوِّي شَهْوَةَ النَّهِمِ. It means here that sins, when they are available and when you are exposed to sin, it's very difficult to resist. Exactly as someone hungry cannot resist the lust of food when there's a variety of dishes. It's like, as one poet put it, getting a person and throwing him in the middle of the ocean and telling him, don't get wet. One poet put it, ألقاه في اليم مكتوفا وقال له إياك إياك أن تبتل بالماء. You threw a person in the middle of a river and told him, don't get wet. So people want to go shopping, people want to go to universities in the West and here, and then they want to become righteous people. It's very difficult. It needs a lot of struggle. You want, not only that, you want to maintain your iman, you want to resist sins while you're exposed to all this nudity outside, to all these movies, to all this type of lies, backbiting and misbehavior, and then you want to protect your behavior, your heart, your eyes, your nafs from ma'asi, and you're in the middle of ma'asiyah. You should change. One of the major rules of tawbah is, as one put it, is to anyone who wants to do tawbah, we're talking about people who are in state of jahl, people who are in state of ma'asiyah, is قال لا يتوب الرجل حتى يغي حتى يترك الكاس ويغير الحلاس ويترك الجلاب. الكاس is cups, referring to wine. Anyone who wants to do tawbah, this is like Arabic is very effective when you have this tajah, words rhyming with each other. So anyone who wants to do tawbah has to stop drinking wine and يترك الكاس. ويغير الحلاب, has to change the outfit, because for every profession there is a certain type of outfit that is suitable. So when you are a student of sacred knowledge, it doesn't fit that you wear a pair of jeans and a type of military sweater and you behave like what did we say the other day, like hippies or like cowboys or like movie stars or singers or youngsters in the West. It doesn't behave. So when you came from America here or from England here, you have to change the way you look in a way that is the closest to the type of sacred knowledge that people look at you and think, okay, this is a man who is studying the deen. This is a man who is not a man who is just was playing football and just passed by here by the masjid to attend. So يغير الحلات ويترك الجلات. You have to change the company, the people around you. So when you don't leave ma'asiyah, when you don't change the way of ma'asiyah, the way you dress, or the way you dressed when you committed the ma'asiyah, when you don't change the people around you when you were in the state of ma'asiyah, you won't be able. There's no help for you to change. You cut all these the roots of al-ma'asiyah. It's very important. Sheikh Ayd Daqar in Syria and several sheikhs of his time, this is around 1920, from 1920-1930 in Damascus, there was this awakening, Nahda, when people started coming to study the sacred knowledge from the countryside and from the city. These two great sheikhs, Sheikh Ali Daqar rahimahullah ta'ala and Sheikh Hashim al-Khatib, students of Sheikh Badruddin al-Hassani and Sayyid Muhammad ibn Ja'far al-Kittani. They both led a campaign to wake up the ummah. Sheikh Ali Daqar put all his efforts in the countryside. So he brought people from the countryside to study the deen, and he established Sharia schools. They were called, his institution was called Al-Jam'iyya Al-Gharra. Al-Jam'iyya Al-Gharra. And Sheikh Ayd Daqar established, concentrated his efforts on the Damascene people, on people from Damascus itself, especially from scholarly families. So the top student of Sheikh Ayd Daqar was Sheikh Hassan Habannaka, for example. The top student of Sheikh Hashim Al-Khatib was Sheikh Saleh Farfour. Anyway, Sheikh Badruddin and Sheikh Sayyid Muhammad ibn Ja'far al-Kittani, being the two greatest scholars of the city at that time, they led the revolution in the country, a real revolution against the French, and students of sacred knowledge were part of it, and several students of Sheikh Ayd Daqar and other sheikhs were martyred. And also there was an intellectual uprising against the invasion of the French culture and the secular invasion also. So there was a motto. The motto they had at the time, that people should knit beards and should put turbans and should pull out their children from public schools, put them in Sharia schools. These three things were the slogan, like the ideology of the new movement, because they consider that it's very important. When you let your beard grow and you put a turban and you walk in the street, the way you walk is going to be different, because being embarrassed from people is a way to feel haya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It just helps you, although of course you don't do it because people are watching you, but it's good. It's a good step, because the first step is not to do the ma'asiyah. Second step is not to do it for the sake of Allah. First step is to do a ta'ah, Second step is to learn how to do it for the sake of Allah. So when you put a turban or you let your beard grow, it helps a lot. Of course, these are sunnahs for all people. Though in late times here in the Middle East, it became a sign of being a scholar to put a turban. But originally, putting a turban is sunnah for everyone. For anyone, Arabs, al-ama'im tijan al-arab. Imamah turbans are crowns, the crowns of Arabs. So it's very important. It prevents you from falling into a state of sin. فلا ترم بالمعاصي كثر شهوته. Was there anything else I was saying? إن الطعام يقوي شهوة النهم. So changing الحلاس and الجلاس and leaving الكاس. Then he says, والنفس كالطفل إن تهمله شب على حب الرضاع وإن تفطمه ينفطم. This line is so beautiful. It's one of the best lines ever written in poetry in describing النفس. We'll stop here, inshallah. We'll take 7 lines today. Go to line number 11. Read after me. محضتني النصح لكن لست أسمعه لكن لست أسمعه لست أسمعه إن المحب عن العذال في صممي. محضتني النصح لكن لست أسمعه إن المحب عن العذال في صممي إن المحب عن العذال في صممي إني اتهمت نصيح الشيب في عذل والشيب أبعد في نصح عن التهم. إني اتهمت نصيح الشيب في عذل والشيب أبعد في نصح عن التهم. فإن أمارتي بالسوء ما اتعظت من جهلها بنذير الشيب والهرم بنذير الشيب والهرم. فإن أمارتي بالسوء ما اتعظت من جهلها بنذير الشيب والهرم ولا أعدت من الفعل الجميل قرى من الفعل الجميل قرى قرى ضيف ألم برأسي غير محتشم. ولا أعدت من الفعل الجميل قرى ضيف ألم برأسي غير محتشم. لام قمرية لام الجيم من الفعل الجميل. Again. ولا أعدت. Continue. من الفعل. Don't prolong المد. ألم ما برأسي. ألم ما برأسي. Again. ولا أعدت. 1, 2, 3. لو كنت أعلم أني ما أوقره كتمت سرا بدا لي منه بالكتم. لو كنت أعلم أني ما أوقره كتمت سرا بدا لي منه بالكتم. منذ إشباع ومنه بالكتم بدا لي منه بالكتم. من لي برد جماح من لي برد جماح من غوايتها كما يرد جماح الخيل باللجم. جماح الخيل باللجم فلا ترم بالمعاصي كثر شهوتها إن الطعام يقوي شهوة النهم. يقوي شهوة النهم to read the line inshallah together. محبتني. 1, 2, 3. محبتني. Loud, loud. Again, you're doing ألم برأسي. ألم برأسي ولا أعدت. ولا أعدت من الفعل الجميل. Anyone memorize the second five lines? كيف تنكروا؟ عدتك حالية. Anyone else? Bahari. ضمة أو فتحة، فقط ضمة أو فتحة من دون ألف أو نصف ألف أو إشباع. Anyone else? You have homework. بينا دولة الهواء ذكري وضنا مثل ال قديك قديك والعنم. Review the rest of the lines. I just want to get the list of attendance. عادل كندرخين I'm writing this in English. English D or that or yeah, this is why it is written D here. That's right. Rashid Khan. you were also here in the last two sessions. You memorize up to 10 lines. 10 lines. I say, who have your hands up? Wasim Ahmad. Abdul Fattah, you last time I heard 5 lines from you. You finished the next 5. Why didn't you have your hand up? What? That's a problem you never learn. So you have to work it out. Abdul Fattah, what? Al Hussein? You were here the first 2 sessions also. Hamza Malik. Saif Omar. We missed the first session also. And anyone whose name is not here. Mahmoud. me. الحضور الحضور الثاني اللي ما اسمه ورد أنا عندي قائمة من الجمعة الماضية استحضرت وجوه جديدة مشان اللي اسمه ما ورد هذه قائمة من أول يوم أظن يمكن كانت الله أعلم عم بحاول أسوي قائمة واحدة مشان I'm trying to make one list so I had رأيي your name is not called you were here for the first one okay so I'm gonna have your name هي عندي مجلس الصباح الصباح مجلس اليوم أول يوم الصباح ضياء والحسين anyone else is in come up sisters I need also a list of attendance please الحمد لله رب العالمين جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين الفاتحة People may leave, inshallah, every 4 or 5 together. People who want to, who memorize, they listen to them, inshallah. Stay. Don't make noise, please. Sakina, silence. عدول 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 الدمع